Parshas Korach, Beis Tefillah, Tovshin Ein Hei. And we start off the parsha, we meet Korach. And they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, Vayomru Aleihem, Rav Lochem, you've taken too much. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have taken for yourself, for your brother, too much. Ki cholo eido kulam kadoshim. Ubesoichom Hashem. Everyone's a kadosh. We're all equal. Everyone's equal. We're all kadoshim. We all heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak at the Har Sinai. Umadua tisnasu al kar Hashem. Why do you take positions al kar Hashem? Isn't that wonderful? Korach is standing up for the rights of the people. He cares so much. Amazing. In fact, the Taz in Simon Tov Kuv Pei Dalet explains when we daven in a tefillah in Moshe Shana Yom Kippur, Meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi, we daven Hashem should rule over the whole world. We say Meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. There's a repetition. Isn't kol ha'olam the same thing as kuloi? Meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. What's the emphasis when we say rule over the whole world? The whole world. How can that be? Do you ever think of that? Says the Taz. Had we just daven for kol ha'olam? We have a principle, rubay kechulay. Roiv, a majority, is as if all, if based Sanhedrin, they sit in court and they decide by a majority that the person's guilty, then the Sanhedrin has decided. It's as if the whole Sanhedrin decided. Rubay kechulay. Therefore, when we daven for Hashem to be revealed in the world, it's not enough to say Meloich al kol ha'olam, because that would imply even just 51%. Therefore, we emphasize Meloich al kol ha'olam kulay. We emphasize what Hashem to be recognized by everyone, not just a majority, but everyone should recognize him. Comes Korach and he also says, Rav Lochem, ki kol ha'ido kulam daishi. He's fighting for our rights. He's amazing. He really cares for us. He cares for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are reigning over Am Yisrael. We're all equal. He's the first communist. Isn't that communism? We're all equal. Is that not correct? Amazing. And not only most of us equal, amazing. But what is Korach's real agenda? Does he really care for us? Well, the first Rashi in the parasha tells us that was bothering Korach. Did he really care for the people? He wanted everyone to be equal? Well, in fact, Chazal tell us to the contrary. Adarabba, says Rashi in the first pasuk, Umaro Korach lachlokim Moshe. You're not going to believe it. Why was he arguing? Niskano and Nisyusa Shalitzophon. He was jealous that Elitzophon got a position. Omar Korach, My father had four brothers. Because Amram took two positions, the king and the godo. So therefore, mi roi litoy les ashniya. Who should take the next position? Me. Shani ben Yitzhak Shani Amram. It's all fakert. What was Korach really at? Himself. He wanted a position. Adarabba. He wants to reign over his over the people. What did he say? Oh, Adarabba. No positions. Communists. He's a real communist. Pretending, claiming it's for everyone, but Lamaisa, everyone's equal, but some people are more equal than others. Right? And as well, Korach takes on Aaron. It's all just to get the people together with him. So, Lamdeinu, we learn from here. Sometimes there's a machloikas in town, and they try and pull you into their camp. Vote for me! Because I'm going to look after you and I care for you. But really, deep down, he's looking after for himself. He just wants you to utilize you, to manipulate you. But it's not really what he's about. It's all about himself and his position. He wants the power. That's exactly what happened with Korach. And the people fell in. They lost their life. There was a tremendous magefa afterwards. It's a tragedy of falling into that type. To that type of logic, we should learn from this parasha and to look, see right through it and not to be involved. And who saw into this? The wife of Oyin ben Peles. Because Oyin ben Peles, he is from the first pasuk. He's from the big opposition leaders. Because Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi v'dosam v'aviron v'Oyin ben Peles. That's where he's mentioned. But after that, he disappears. He's not mentioned again. We meet Dosan V'Aviram, we meet Korach, we meet the 250 men, but Oyin ben Peles disappears. He's off the radar screen. What happened? Chazal tell us, because when they came to call Oyin ben Peles out, his wife told him, what are you getting out of this? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rav, you are a Talmud. And if Korach's the Rav, you're a Talmud. You're not getting anything out of this. Meaning, she saw through it. It's all for themselves. So why should he be involved? And she saved his life. So this is the message. Avoid machlekas. Don't believe them what they have to say. They try and persuade you. Don't believe them. Just keep away. Because really, they're looking after themselves. So we learned that Oyin ben Peles, he disappears. But you know what? There's someone else, a major figure from this machlekes, and he also doesn't really appear. Who is the biggest figure that we should be meeting in this argument? Who's missing in the discussions, in the speeches, in the drama? Sorry?
Aaron.
Correct. Aaron, where's Aaron in on the story? It's all about him. We should be meeting Aaron, going to the Congress, against everyone's will, against the, and making a fiery speech, right? All the cameras on him, gewalting and telling the Congress what they should, why should they ignore their leader and listen to me. Aaron should be, no, come on. Covered her, kuhuna. Yet, Aaron is silent. Doesn't say a word. Not even only that. And he is approached. It says immediately in Pasuk Gimel, Vayikulu al Moshe val Aaron, Vayomer li, Rav Lochem, speak to Moshe and Aaron, Vayishma Moshe vayipol panav. Only Moshe Rabbeinu falls down. Aaron doesn't. He doesn't even fall down. The Ramban picks up on his point. And the Ramban says, it's out of Anova, as if Aaron is saying, you know you're right. I don't deserve to be a Kohen. You're right. Since it's all about myself, it's inappropriate that I should be fighting for myself, so I'm keeping quiet, as if to say you're right. Why should I be a Kohen Gadol? I'm not a party over here. That's how the Ramban explains. Only Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one v'yipal upon him. The Shlo, on this week's parsha, the Shlach HaKodesh, in the Musarim, he has a Musar vote on every parsha. Says the Shlach, we need to learn from Aaron HaKohen. If we're ever involved in Machlekes, it can happen to anyone. In fact, we daven for this every day. Every day we daven that if it comes our way, we should be able to be quiet. Why would a person curse me? Obviously, we're having an argument. And we daven the nafshi sidoim. We need to learn from Aaron HaKohen. The best way you can avoid the machlekes is to be quiet. To stay silent is the best remedy for machlekes. The worst thing you can do is to answer back, because that is fuel on the fire. The Third World War can break out. But if you're silent, you can't argue with a silent person. You just can't. And that says the Shlach, Aaron was a raid of Shalom, and therefore he kept quiet. He didn't respond. And that, if Chas Shalom were ever met face with the Machlekes, could be at home, could be from our neighbor, could be from our shul, could be anywhere, is to be quiet. And that's the biggest redeem for Shalom you could do, is to be quiet. That's what Aaron in the whole story is, silent. Doesn't speak, doesn't respond. The Gemara says in Chulin that Pei Tes Amud Aleph, the world doesn't stand. A person in the midst of a fight can hold himself back. Hashem holds the land, the world, al blima, someone who can shut his mouth. B'shas meriva. Rav Pinkos in Tiferes Shimshon says, we think this is only applicable for big fights where you have to call in the police, where the people threaten each other and scouting and screaming. He says this also applies to small fights. If you're ever a visitor in someone's house, you're a guest, and the couple starts to have a small fight, not a major one, how does the guest feel? What does the guest feel when he sees the husband calls the wife "you're stupid" and she shouts back?
Uncomfortable, to say the least.
Very wonderful. The neighbors, the guest says, "What did I come here for? Let's get out of here. Don't want to be here." It hurts the ears to hear people fight. It's a terrible thing. Or you see even a father to son fight. Not such a fight. You feel very uncomfortable. You don't want to be here. The same thing. Malchusa de Ara, okay, Malchusa de Rakia. The way this world behaves is the way that Hashem behaves. If we have fights at home, the Shekhinah wants to run away. Doesn't want to stay around. The same way a guest wants to run away, the Shekhinah runs away as well. So it's not only for big things, even for small fights. The bracha we have is to have shalom. Shalom is the biggest bracha. In Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Hey, Hashem, Hashem says to Moshe, "He bought lumi toicha edo, hazois v'achal oisam karaga. I'm going to destroy them. Va'yiplu al pnehem." Here, Moshe and Aaron, actually, they both fall down. Va'yimu keilu loki aruchos, they daven lechol basar. Ha'yisha chod yechto v'kol edom tiktzei. Hashem is about to destroy the Jewish people, and they noifel al pnehem, and they daven, and Hashem saves them. Rabbeinu Bechaya, right here, says This is the source for nefilah sapayim. After our tefillah, we do nefilah sapayim. And this is the source for it. Now, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, on certain levels, the Shas Nefilas Apayim is more powerful than the Shmoneh Esrei itself. Can you imagine? What we think, the Chosin, everyone's so happy, especially with the Chosin on the Mondays and Thursdays, Bahab. Everyone's like, Mamash B'Simcha, and they tell the Chosin, you make sure daven by us. Right? And there's a Baal Bris. He gets told, informed, you got to daven by us this week. Because we're in a big rush. Because we want to cut through the Tachanun. But Lamaisa, the Tachanun is a very powerful time. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. Ima Sholem, the wife of Rabbi Lezer, was the sister of Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara there tells us about there was a big incident with Rabbi Lezer and Chachomim, with Tanura and Sharachnoi. There was a certain oven that Rabbi Lezer declared it is Tohor, am I correct? It's Tohor. And Chachomim held its Tomei. It was a very, very big argument with supernatural Nisim happening. The walls of the Beis Medrash started to cave in on the Chachomim, and the Amas Samayim went backwards. The spring was, the canal was water was going backwards. There was a Choruv, this carriage tree that moved 100 Amos. It was a wild, wild time. And Chachomim said, Loi Bashamayim, we're not interested. You, Rabbi Lezer, have to follow us. Achei Rabbim Nahatois. He didn't listen. And what did they do? Birchuhu. Birchuhu, you don't want, it's not a bracha you want to get. Birchu means they put him in cherem. And this was under the auspices of the Nasi of Rabbi Gamliel. He was the Nasi, he authorized this, and they put Rabbi Lezer b'cherem. So Rabbi Gamliel's sister was Rabbi Lezer's wife. And she, now obviously Rabbi Lezer was upset. He put in cherem by the Chachomim. She didn't allow Rabbi Lezer to be noifel in Meipal Arape. Every day she made sure he won't do tachanun, he won't do nefilat pai. Because she was afraid what will happen to Rabbi Gamliel, her brother. One day it was Rosh Chodesh, Reish Yarcha, and she got mixed up between Mole and Choser. She obviously thought it was a Rosh Chodesh, and it wasn't. She didn't realize it was one day or 2 days, and she found he actually, therefore she wasn't on and watching him. He did Nefilas HaPayim, and she saw that, and she said, get up, you killed my brother. You just killed Rabbi Gamliel. And as she said that, they heard the loudspeakers saying there's a Levaya and Har Manuchas right now with Rabbi Gamliel. So they told him, how did he know? Because Chachma Kublani, that's when a person's upset, then the heavens don't get closed. Kol ha'Ne'orim, all the Sha'arim are closed except for Sha'ar Einor. But says Rabbeinu Bechaya, you see the power of Tachanun, because she wasn't afraid of her brother being killed through the Shmoneh Esrei of Rabbi Lezer. That she wasn't afraid of. But in the Tachanun, She was very concerned that since he's upset, it would kill Rabbi Gamliel. The kach happened. So see, on a certain level, the tachanun has, in certain aspects, has a more of a powerful effect than the Shmoneh Esrei itself. As they zokt Rabbeinu Bechaya, right there in this week's parasha. The rationale is, he says, on tachanun we write b'tzar, on tachanun we express our pain. We say, that's why we don't, on happy days we don't say tachanun. And because we just had a tefillah, Hashem cares for our pain. And our pain hurts HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we've just been through a Shmoneh Esrei, now we share our pain, Hashem cares for us. That's the power of the tachanun. Another idea he says for Tachanun. On Tachanun, we like shut down. We cover our face with our hands, as if to show, don't scorpions, if you put a fire around, don't sting themselves? Or certain animals, when they're frightened, they cover themselves up. So we like expressing that we have no power. We have no hands, no feet, we can't move. That's why we cover our face. To show that we recognize we legamrei b'yad Hashem. Rabbeinu B'chaya. So interesting to think about this. Maybe this will help us, give us more meaning to our Tachanun. And realize that Tachanun is a powerful time to express our pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a time that Hashem cares for us and will fight for our pain. Hashem tells Moshe, keep away from Dothan and Aaron. Dothan and Aviram, keep away from them. Gonna wipe them out. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Great! I've had so much sorrows in Dothan and Aviram. Mitzrayim, the Yam, the Man. Sof Baruch Hashem. I've been waiting for this, it's my dream. They're gonna be wiped, bumped off, Gevaldik. No, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayokom Moshe Vayelech Adosan Vaviram, Vayelchu Achrov Zikne Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, even after he's been told, he's already called them, they refuse to come to him. They say, Olo Nale, they refuse to come. You can poke our eyes out, we're not coming to you. Hashem says, I'm going to keep away from them because I'm going to wipe them out. Moshe Rabbeinu still goes ahead. He goes to visit Adosan Vaviram with the Zikne Yisrael. But they refuse. The question is, this lechur is against the halacha. Is it mutter to go and appease the Rasha? In the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yoina, Shar Gimel, Ois Nun Ches and Nun Tes, Rabbeinu Yoina counts the lav of Lo Yekorech V'chad Osai, forbidden to make a machlokes. Not allowed to make arguments. But says Rabbeinu Yoina, that's true for a regular person. But for a Rasha, if you don't fight a Rasha, you will be punished. You have to stand up against Rishoyim. Mi she'einoi machzik b'machleikas ala misyatzvim al derech lo itoiv. A person who doesn't stand up, who doesn't fight the Rishoyim, harei unena shel chatosam. You'll be punished from their sin. And your shenemar loytis orav chait. You have to do all you can to fight the Rishoyim. That's Rabbeinu Yoina. The Chofetz Chaim many times brings from Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva. The question is, who is a bigger Rasha than Dothan and Aviram? They're the biggest you can find. Yet, what's the heta of Moshe Rabbeinu to go in and try and appease them? Adrabba, they should be killed. They should be wiped out.
Isn't that okay? Okay, that's maybe for Hashem, but Hashem can do many things, but we have to stand up and fight them. That's what Benyamin Paskins. So this is the way to fight them, let them be killed. And what do you say? Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to do anything. And he already tried. He already sent them shlichim. They refused to come. Hashem says, keep away from them. I'm going to wipe them out. We're not davening for them to die. Just, why should you interfere? Why should you try and stop it happening?
It sounds like Avraham Avinu with Sodom. Are they worse than Sodom or not worse?
That's a good point.
I mean, there's got to be some parallel at some level.
That's a good aura, right? In Zdoim, right? You see.
Therefore, you have to try it no matter what.
Uh-huh.
So how do we deal with Rabbi Yonah?
Rabbi Yonah comes after Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know if he had all the answers.
Oh, well, surely he must have. He obviously knew what happened in his time. Any ideas? Wicked people, these are really evil people.
But they were sick, they were among the coming from the sheep, they could get up.
Yeah.
They're evil and.
And good.
You said it's just a fighter with the damage bring them to show. So
right. Okay. Why? So they got the opportunity, they refused it. Why should Moshe Rabbeinu have to try again? The answer is, I saw in a sefer called Nesiv Chaim, perish on the Chofetz Chaim, and a Chinami. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't trying to come and save Dosam Aviron. They were Shoyim. They refused to come when I called them. Lo Magialem. But since this is a national, there's a national crisis over here. It's not just two individuals. There's a whole camp behind them of Am Yisrael who were mixed up. And even afterwards, Am Yisrael they came to complain and said, you killed these righteous people. Right? Am Yisrael came afterwards. Right? Vayiloinu, in Pasuk Vav, in Perek Tes Yud Zayin. They came to complain. Atemi matem as am Hashem. The people weren't, they were mixed up. They didn't get it. But since it's a national issue, Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and he will try to appease them. It's not a steer to Rabbeinu Yonah. It was to bring Shalom to the camp to save the other people. Yeah, right. So on one hand, we meet the pasuk of Vayakom Moshe Vayelech Dosam VaAviram. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Omer Shlakish Mikan Shein Machzikim BeMachloikus. You see, from Moshe Rabbeinu, you must don't try and stop the Machloikus. But Moshe Rabbeinu goes to visit Dosam VaAviram. But then we find another pasuk. Veloye Kekoyach VeChadosai. From here we learn, says the Gemara, "Kol ha'machzik v'machlekes over belav." There's a lav to hold a machlekes. We have the Gemara being two separate psukim. One is lo yekakorach v'chadosai. It's very clear. Don't be like Korach. Then we meet on the same issue of machzik v'machlekes. We meet Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you need two psukim for? Why does the Gemara have to learn from two separate psukim? What? So therefore, you're saying very good. You're saying it was like one-sided. It was just Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really arguing. I think Rabbi Daniel is raising a very important point. There's two separate ideas over here. The love of Loi Kekorach V'Chadosai, let's think about it. Does that apply to Moshe Rabbeinu? No. Did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? He followed the Kodesh Baruch Hu's orders. What do you want from him? It's all Korach. Had it just said Lo Yekakorach V'Chadosai, that means don't be like a Korach and make up a wrong argument, an illegal claim, non-justified claim. That's what's asr. But if you're right, then for me it's mutar. Right? You can't, not have to be a koirach. But if you're really right, then stand for your principles. Fight it out. Therefore, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you're absolutely right, you're 100% right, and he's 100% wrong, still try and quieten the machlekes. Try and appease them. Doesn't mean give in, but try and calm people down. The second level. So Lo Yekarev Chadosa is talking about the lav, that's to a person who's instigating the machlekes, unjustified, he's wrong. That's a lav in the Torah. But even if you are right, there's still a mitzvah of not to be machzeh machlekes. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though he was right, he was following Hashem, what Hashem said, still he tried as much as he could to quieten things down. Rav Pinkus says a derech hadrush. When the Torah says lo yekarev lecha adosai, and says the following: there'll never be again something similar to Korach v'Chadosai. Because only by Korach and Adosai, there was one side was 100% right, and the other side was 0% right. Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% because he really followed what Hashem said, and Korach was 100% wrong. Says the Torah, it's never going to happen again. Because in every argument, there's always two sides of the coin. And even though you may be right, but he's also a bit right. So don't think you're 100% right. There's something to it, what the other side wants to say. And therefore, if you recognize that you're not, there's something to it, it'll help you calm down and try and work things out. If you think he's 100% wrong, then you're never going to give in. If you recognize there's something to it, there's something behind what he has to say, it'll help you work this out. In the tshuva of the Netziv, in the Meshiv Dovar, in Chelik Beis Simen Tes, the Netziv makes an observation. When the Torah says, Lo ye chekoirach v'cha adosai, it's separating them. Lo ye chekoirach v'cha adosai. It should say, Lo ye chekoirach v'adosai. It's Korach and his camp. It should say, Lo ye kekoirach v'adosai.
What does it say?
Lo ye kekoirach v'adosai. There's a separation between them. There's another chof. Lo ye kekoirach v'adosai. It should say Lo ye kekoirach v'adosai. Zay frek den etziv. What? Sorry? Who? They're arguing? Why is it relevant to us when the Torah says that they're working together, they're trying to topple Moshe? That's true, they had different agenda, that's correct, but Moshe said they made a coalition.
Yes, it was so. Why do we have to have this? In other words, why did Moshe just let the whole thing go? If they were below 60 years, they were going into territory. If they weren't, they weren't going to go. That generation wasn't going either way.
Okay.
So what are you gaining? They're dead. What are you gaining? He has the Yahushua with a new generation. That generation, argument, no argument, peace, no peace. You're not going anyways. So what's the game?
Why are they arguing? Or why is Moshe Rabbeinu?
They're going to get wiped out either way. What's the game?
I mean,
They're dead either way. Either they're dead because the Hashem was so through Moshe that they're totally out of their minds, which is for us to learn. On the other hand, they're dead either way. They're not. But even if they would have made peace,
that's in 40 years' time.
Even if Korach would have given in,
right?
He's not going to Eretz Israel.
Okay, but that's in 40 years' time. In the meantime, who tomorrow morning, who's going to be the Kohen Gadol?
You give him, you don't have to make him Kohen Gadol.
But they wanted it. You see, these 250 guys were coming to take the kuna. There's everything.
Look, leave Aaron alone and you'll help him. And accept it, and that's the end.
They wanted the kuna. They're willing to risk their life. This is the point we're going to speak about. These 250 people were committing suicide.
Right.
They knew, they already knew,
they weren't going
that in. That bringing Torah is playing with fire. They knew what happened to Aaron's two children, not having a view, that they brought Eish Zara and they were killed. They knew this. It's like touching. Hey, there's two pylons, electrical pylons, with high power electricity. There are millions of volts over there. And we're going to tell you, Rabbeisai, I want you to both touch both wires. There's only one person who's going to survive. All of you. See, Russian roulette is only one out of six chances to be killed. You still have five out of six to survive. Here, there's 250 guys and Aaron. So it's only one out of 250 who are going to survive. All going to be wiped out. Who wants to hold on to the wire? Who wants to touch? You have to be pretty out of your mind that they're committing suicide. Says the Netziv, there's a difference between Korach and the camp. Korach was a Russia. He wanted the position, he wanted the power. Therefore, that was his agenda. The 250 people says they were tzaddikim. They had such a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had such a taiva to bring the Torah. They're willing to risk their life. They knew it. They may die. It was worthwhile for them. Ah, such tzaddikim. Says the Torah, Lo yekeh Korach v'chados. Don't make an argument not as a Korach for bad intentions. And don't make a machlekes, not even for good intentions. Like a koyrach v'cha adosai. As they zok the netziv. Okay, Bezat Hashem, in a few minutes time we'll discuss more about machlekes. Is it osir, is it mutter? And Bezat Hashem, thank you very much. In 5 minutes time. Thank you.